series every month of a passage that begins with "Let us." And verse 36, after the meeting had been arranged in Jerusalem about whether Jews and whether Gentiles had to be circumcised or not, Paul and Barnabas come back to Antioch. But let's begin in verse 36. In el verso 36 de Hechos capítulo 15. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now it's interesting when you look at the commentaries, all they want to talk about is verse 37 through 40. And I want to skip those because those are not part of the point that I want to be making this morning. The idea is, let us go again and visit our brethren. And this is an occasion in Chile, a ladies' class that Dana taught a long time ago. But again, the idea of visiting with our brethren. And I will point out very quickly here in the very back, in the very corner, Sister Inés. This is Emilio Acevedo's wife. This is their daughter, but this is the wife that is to have cancer surgery the 10th of this month. And we've just sent some money to them for to help with the expenses of all the tests that had to be done before that. But I want us to think about this, the importance of visiting our brethren. Y quiero que nosotros enfocamos ahorita en la importancia de visitar a los hermanos. ¿Y por qué fui Pablo? Fueron Pablo y Silas a visitarlos para darles esfuerzo. And why did they go to visit them? It was to strengthen them. And it's interesting, the word that is translated visit is this Greek word. And you can see it there. You may notice something. We're told that this word actually comes from another word. It's kind of a later addition. The idea of episcopio or episcopos, which is the word that is translated overseer. When you see the word overseer, what do you think of? You think of going to see how things are, what needs to be done, etc. En el griego, la palabra visitar para nosotros tiene cierta idea. Y visitar es ir allá a ver cómo están, la familia, cómo va todo. Pero esta palabra es la misma palabra que es traducido, supervisor, en otros lugares. Y sabemos ¿qué es el trabajo de un supervisor? Es no solamente ir allá para ver las cosas, pero no es para charlar, es para ver qué necesita, cómo va la cosa, qué debemos hacer para que se arregla. And so, when I think sometimes we have the idea that visit just means just to go and have a social call, which is important, but that's not the one that is used here. In Acts chapter 7, in Hechos capítulo 7, and this is in Stephen's sermon, and notice what he has to say about Moses here in verse 23. Hablando de Moisés, en el verso 23 dice, "Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." Do we think of this as a social call? No. This is to go see how things are. Eso no fue por un charla. Eso fue para ver, porque él era alguien muy importante. Él era el hijo de la hija del rey. Entonces él tenía poder, no fue para hablarles, para ver cómo lo estaban tratando. And this is the word visit, es la palabra visitar. En Hebreos 2, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. Hebrews 2, verse 6. And again, we meet in the last sentence, the same word, episcopal, whatever. Depending on your version, the King James says, and you visit him. And certainly that is the word, but I think most of the newer translations say what? The New King James says, take care of him. Others say something similar. Otra vez, aquí en el verso 6, en la versión antigua dice visitar al hombre, pero lo nuevo dicen que cuida del hombre. In James chapter 1, Santiago, el libro que sigue, el verso 27. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Obviously, the idea of visit here is not just go spend time with them, playing with the children, etc. It's the idea of caring for. Y otra vez, no es una charla allí, no es ir allá a jugar con los niños, es visitarles para ver lo que falta, lo que necesitan, en qué puedo ayudarles. And Paul's point, as is brought out there in Acts chapter 16, verse 41, it says actually in verse 15, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And that was the whole point of this trip. And this is a pattern that we find in Paul's work. In chapter 17, verse 14 and 15. Eso es algo que hizo Pablo por mucho tiempo. Eso fue el normal para él. En el capítulo 17 de Hechos, el verso 14, verse 14, there's that uproar in Thessalonica. And it says, then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Pablo, como fue el centro de problemas en la ciudad, lo llevaron a otra ciudad, Atenas, pero dejaron a Timoteo y Silas allá para ayudar a los hermanos. And we notice that Paul was immediately sent out of the city because of the uproar. But Timothy and Silas stayed there. Why? To strengthen the brethren, to encourage them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul, in the writing here, and this book was written, 1st and 2nd Timothy, were written to encourage, to strengthen these brethren who were new Christians. In verse 1, in Primera los Tesalonicenses, capítulo 3, verso 1 dice, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. That was the point, was to encourage them, to establish them. And so, coming back to Acts again, to Acts 18, in Hechos capítulo 18, el verso 23, verse 23, and after he had spent some time there. He departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Why was he doing this? To strengthen them. Y dice que él salió, se despidió de allí y fue a otras regiones con el propósito de esforzarles para que estén bien. Y preguntamos por qué lo hizo. Why did he do this? And I think these are things that sometimes we kind of take for granted. There is a tendency when someone is baptized to think, okay, we're done now. We don't have to study with them anymore. But that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. A veces hay la idea que cuando uno es salvo, se bautiza, es salvo, ya podemos dejarlos, que ya no hay necesidad de estudiarlos con ellos más, porque ya tienen. Pero no es así. In Matthew 28, Mateo 28, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Mateo 28, 19 y 20. And Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So here, not only is it making disciples and baptizing them, but it says teaching them to observe all things. That's a very necessary part of helping new Christians to continue to grow, is to continue to teach them. Es muy importante que los que son cristianos recientes de seguir enseñándoles, porque hay problemas, puede venir falsa doctrina, como en Gálatas, Gálatas capítulo 1, el verso 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, as occurred in Galatia. Excuse me. Paul says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the gospel of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I want us to notice particularly verse 6. He says, I am amazed. I can't believe that you are turning away so soon. These were not Christians who had been Christians for 10 or 15 years. These were Christians who were new Christians. And so his point is, I preach to you and already, aquí dice, me maravillo. Estoy asombrado de que están dejando el Evangelio tan pronto. Pero los cristianos nuevos necesitan enseñanza. Pero en primera de Pedro, in second Peter, segunda de Pedro, in chapter 1, second Peter chapter 1, Paul says, getting my languages mixed up here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, at verse 12, he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Now, who's he writing to? New Christians? No, these are brethren who are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Older Christians need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. And we're not talking just because our memories are not as good as they used to be. The point is, we all need to be reminded of things that we learned, that we know, because they can tend to lose their meaning. In Jude, in Judas, el verso 3, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Why? Because certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And he goes on to talk about the false teachers. But I want to key in verse 5. Yo quiero dedicarme al verso 5. Donde dice, yo quiero recordarle, aunque una vez lo conocía, es importante que recordamos a los que ya tienen tiempo en el Evangelio. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, and I don't think he's saying you've forgotten it completely. What he's saying is you already knew this, and so, but you still need to be reminded. Y los jóvenes necesitan ser entrenados, particularmente los que quieren predicar. And young men need to be trained as well. And as we read in our Bible class this morning in Acts chapter 16, verse 3, now Paul wanted to have him go on with him. Was it just that he needed somebody to carry his bags and so on? We know that it's much more than that. Timothy was a vital worker in the gospel. In Titus chapter 1, notice what is said of Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. Titus was a Greek. Titus could not have been Paul's son for several reasons in the flesh, but he was his son. And so this is what needed to be done. Now, brethren, I want us to make the application. Yo quiero aplicar esto a nosotros aquí. Y no es que debemos ir a otra ciudad. We don't have to go to another city to visit, to preach. It can be very profitable. And this picture is from one of the churches in Bogota, El Libertador. And you can see they meet in a house. But there they are. And I know visits to churches like this are very encouraging. But we need to visit people here. And not just brethren, but others who are not Christians as well, with that purpose, to bring them to the faith. And so when we think about the importance of visiting, cuando pensamos la importancia de visitar a otros, we know and we understand this. We all know what day this is, right? You see the turkey, you know this is Thanksgiving. And I mean, if you didn't get that, if you thought maybe it was Christmas, no, you see the cornucopia. This is Thanksgiving. And here they are. They're praying together before they eat. Why is Thanksgiving such a big deal? And you know, I've heard my wife say more than once, and the older we get, the more she says, you know, I slaved for 2 or 3 days on all this food. And how long did it take for us to eat it up? It's not really the food, is it? It's about spending time with family. Pues para nosotros el día de la Pascua, del pavo, es un día muy importante. y es el costumbre de que toda la familia se junta. Y dice mi esposa, pues, ¿qué cosa? Yo me costó 3 días preparando toda esta comida y en media hora ya acabamos con todo. Pero no es la comida, es pasar tiempo con la familia. And that is something that we need to understand, not only with our physical family, but with our spiritual family. And I'm just going to use an example. I think most of you know that Larry's family, the Buntings, get together once a year. And they normally have, well, his father's generation, most of them are past, but they're still there. And it's not only them, but it's Larry's generation, their children, some even of the grandchildren are there. And they go out of their way to go wherever it is they typically go, and it's not usually the same place, to spend 4 or 5 days together because it's important. And that isn't just your old family reunion where everybody eats a lot, but it's not only to know how to see what's happening, but to see where they are spiritually, to encourage one another in that. And I think we understand that so well. And I think visiting is something that has gotten lost. And that's not an accident. Yo pienso que visitar a otra familia es algo que ya hemos perdido. Pero yo no creo que eso es de casualidad. Yo creo que eso es algo del diablo. This is one of the devil's tricks, because we have so many ways to communicate today. Most of us can remember, even though maybe just a little bit, when you got letters from grandma. That was always an important thing. But then the telephone became cheaper. And then there became other things. Text messages. Facebook. Facebook Live. And so on. Zoom even. The latest. And Zoom is probably the best of all. You can see and hear. But is that the same as visiting someone in their home or in your home? No, it's not. And I can remember one time after one of my various surgeries, my mother, after a while, says, "I just want to see you." I talked to her various times before that, but there is that importance of seeing people as they are. And none of these can take the place of personal contact, in seeing people, in being able to touch them. And brethren, that's very important. And I think one of the things, if Dana and I've learned nothing else throughout our years preaching and teaching, it's that there is nothing like the confidence of being in my home. When we have gone to see people in their home, that's where you really get to know them. If they have problems that they want to share, they're not going to share them here. They're going to share them in their home. The studies that we have set up through the years, the vast majority have been set up after visiting or while visiting in somebody's home. And I'm thinking of one brother who was in his 60s before he became a Christian. His wife was a faithful Christian all those years. And we went to visit them. And it took me 7 times on that day asking for a Bible study before he said yes. Would that have had the same power over the phone? No, it wouldn't have. And so it's important to visit. And coupled with that is another thing that's been lost, and that's hospitality. And I'm as guilty as everyone else. When Paul and Robin were here and the ladies took Robin out, what did we do with Paul? We took him out to the restaurant. Now, we were blessed. There were only the 4 of us, and we were back in a little corner where there wasn't too much noise. But that's not really a real substitute for hospitality. And I want us to look. Vamos al libro de Génesis. El primer libro de la Biblia. Génesis capítulo 18. Genesis 18. And this is a passage we're familiar with. This is a passage that Dana and I have a little difference here on, because I hold with the standard position that Abraham did not recognize that this was God when he first encountered him. She thinks that because of the way he's addressed, but let's just look and see. In verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent day in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he, Abraham, lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by on your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. And after that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant.'" Now, he calls him Lord. And the general consensus is that this was the way people at that time would have talked to someone that they did not know, a stranger, falling on the ground, humbling themselves and begging, if you will, "My Lord, do not pass by on your servant." And he says, "Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest here under this tree in the shade, and I will bring a morsel of bread." Now, you remember that the morsel of bread that he set before them. A calf and apparently 6 or 7 loaves of bread apparently more than him. They had butter. They had everything they needed. This was not a little bit of bread. And so that suggests that this idea is just the way they would talk. But the point is, he went out of his way. And they expected it, because the response is, "Go and do as you have said." Now, they're going to have time to rest in the shade. They know this is not going to be, "Oh, by the way, we got a couple of stale loaves of bread here, I'll bring out to you." This is going to be a meal that has to be prepared. Now, I'm not suggesting from this that hospitality has to be quite this elaborate. But this was on the spur of the moment. And they had a little help there. They had servants. He gave the calf to a young man who prepared it. Probably Sarah gave commands to her servants as well. They prepared it, but there it was. And we think about, well, why is this here? And certainly one of them is because after lunch, they ask, "So where is Sarah?" "Well, she's right here inside the tent." And so then they tell her that she will have a child. But there's more to it than that, because Hebrews chapter 13, in Hebreos capítulo 13, Hebrews 13, this book who is addressed to the Hebrews who would have known the Old Testament. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unknowingly entertained angels. And I think this is probably a reference to Genesis 18. But the point is it important to practice hospitality? And I think the challenge for us today, and this is something that will set us apart, and something that can have a huge impact, is number one, that we visit with one another, that we encourage one another. And I think Joyce and Eric is a perfect situation. I think we know. Is it important to text them? Well, yes, text Joyce. Yes, that's important. She's always thankful. A phone call, same thing. A phone call, even you can sit and discuss with her in a way that you really can't by text. But what about actually going and seeing her? And there have been a couple of times, there was one time I can remember in particular, that I went and I dropped off food. Because Joyce was, I think, had a doctor appointment. Did that food have the same effect that it did when I brought food or didn't bring food and sat and talked for 30 minutes or an hour? And I don't have to tell you the answer to that. But not just Joyce and Eric, each other. That's how we build our bond, the bonds between each other. Doing things together. And again, not only with other Christians. That's incredibly important. But visiting in the homes of others, maybe who are not Christians, who are contacts. To get to know them, to spend time with them. Because that's how they develop a relationship. You develop a relationship with them, they develop a relationship with you. They begin to see, and this is a big thing with a preacher. This preacher is just a man. His wife's just a woman. They're not up here, and I'm down here. It's important, and Christians can be the same way. And again, going against the grain, be hospitable to one another. And you know, the first thing that we did when Melissa, we knew she was coming. I knew she was going to come Friday night, and I figured she wasn't going to get to the place she was staying till probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. But we had already, Dana and I had already talked about that when she came, we would have her to our house to visit with. And that was about an hour and a half talk after supper. Yes, that can have an effect. And we need to not let society teach us. There's no need for that. Why is the suicide rate what it is? Why are people so angry? Why are people so lonely? It's because there's no substitute for spending time together in person. Will that cut into my personal time? Yeah, Are there periods in your life where you don't have as much time as you used to? Yes. And you have to take that into consideration. Are there times that you can't put on the party that you would have at one time? Well, whether we like to admit it or not, yes, there is such a time. And brothers and sisters, we need to realize that, yes, there is such a time.